And now, just to make sure you don't sleep at all tonight, I have a collection of 6 short scary tales by Lyra Starflare. I found these in the house within Helen Garriott's Memorial Gardens in Immortal City. Firstly, there is This New Old House by Batute of Hill 821. We bought an old house, my boyfriend and I. He's in charge of the new construction, converting the kitchen into the master bedroom, for instance, while I'm on wallpaper removal duty. The previous owner papered every wall and ceiling. Removing it is brutal, but oddly satisfying. The best feeling is getting a long peel, similar to your skin when you're peeling from a sunburn. I don't know about you, but I kind of make a game of peeling, on the hunt for the longest piece before it rips. Under a corner section of paper in every room is a person's name and a date. Curiosity got the best of me one night when I researched one of the names and discovered the person was actually a missing person, the missing date matching the date under the wallpaper. The next day I made a list of all the names and dates. Sure enough, each name was for a missing person with dates to match. We notified the police, who naturally sent out the crime scene team. I overheard one tech say, "Yep, it's human." "Human? What's human?" "Ma'am, where is the material you removed from the walls already? This isn't wallpaper you were removing." Okay, if that's not scary enough, number 2. I Hate It When My Brother Charlie Has to Go Away by Horror in Pure Form. I hate it when my brother Charlie has to go away. My parents constantly try to explain to me how sick he is, that I am lucky for having a brain where all the chemicals flow properly to their destinations like undammed rivers. When I complain about how bored I am without a little brother to play with, they try to make me feel bad by pointing out that his boredom far likely surpasses mine, considering he's confined to a dark room in an institution. I always beg for them to give him one last chance. Of course they did it at first. Charlie has been back home several times, each shorter in duration than the last. Every time, without fail, it all starts again. The neighbourhood cats with gouged-out eyes showing up in his toy chest, my dad's razors found dropped on the baby slide in the park across the street, mum's vitamins replaced by bits of dishwasher tablets. My parents are hesitant now, using last chances sparingly. They say his disorder makes him charming, makes it easier for him to fake normalcy, and to trick the doctors who care for him into thinking he is ready for rehabilitation. That I will just have to put up with my boredom if it means staying safe from him. I hate it when Charlie has to go away. It makes me have to pretend to be good until he's back. Number 3. Guardians by Dark Alligator. He awoke to the huge insect-like creatures looming over his head and screamed his lungs out. They hastily left the room, and he stayed up all night, shaking and wondering if it had been a dream. The next morning, there was a tap on the door. Gathering his courage, he opened it to see one of them gently place a plate filled with fried breakfast on the floor, then retreat to a safe distance. Bewildered, he accepted the gift. The creatures chittered excitedly. This happened every day for weeks. At first he was worried they were fattening him up, but after a particularly greasy breakfast left him clutching his chest from heartburn, they were replaced with fresh fruit. As well as cooking, they poured hot steamy baths for him and even tucked him in when he went to bed. It was bizarre. One night, he woke to screaming. He raced downstairs to find a decapitated burglar being devoured by the insects. He was sickened, but disposed of the remains as best he could. He knew they had just been protecting him. One morning, the creatures wouldn't let him leave his room. He lay down, confused, but trusting, as they ushered him back into bed. whatever their motives, they weren't going to hurt him. Hours later, a burning pain spread throughout his body. It felt like his stomach was filled with razor wire. The insects chittered as he spasmed and moaned. It was only when he felt a terrible squirming feeling beneath his skin that he realized that the insects hadn't been protecting him. They had been protecting their young. Number 4. My daughter learned to count, by Real Science 87. My daughter woke me around 11:50 last night. My wife and I had picked her up from her friend Sally's birthday party, brought her home, and put her to bed. My wife went into the bedroom to read, while I fell asleep reading a book. "Daddy," she whispered, tugging my shirt sleeve, "guess how old I'm going to be next month?" "I don't know, beauty," I said, as I slipped on my glasses. "How old?" She smiled and held up four fingers. "It is 7:30 now. My wife and I have been up with her for almost 8 hours. She still refuses to tell us where she got them." Number 5. He Stood Against My Window, by Saib Thuk. I don't know why I looked up, but when I did, I saw him there. He stood against my window. His forehead rested against the glass, and his eyes were still and light, and he smiled a lipstick-red, cartoonish grin. And he just stood there in the window. My wife was upstairs sleeping, my son was in his crib, and I couldn't move. I froze and watched him looking past me through the glass. Oh, please no. His smile never moved, but he put a hand up and slid it down the glass, watching me with matted hair and yellow skin and face through the window. I couldn't do anything. I just stood there, frozen, feet still in the bushes. I was pruning, looking into my home. He stood against my window. Number 6. The Happiest Day of My Life, by Recludus. I watched as my soon-to-be father-in-law held his daughter's hand as he walked down the aisle. Tears streamed down his face as the wedding march that played in the background reminded him that, in a few minutes, he would be watching me hold his daughter's hand and slipping on her ring. He walked up to the altar, and I took hold of her hand, grinning from ear to ear. It was the happiest day of my life. My bride's father got down on his knees and started begging. "Please, I did what you asked. Just please give my daughter back." I glared at him. "Shut up and stop ruining the moment. If you sit back down and enjoy the ceremony, maybe I'll tell you where I've hidden the rest of her body."